Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go back to Mark chapter 4 this morning. We were there last Sunday morning talking about facing your fears, you know, or facing your fears with faith, and what the, you know, what the Bible has to say about that subject, some things that it has to say about that subject, about facing your fears, you know, because we all have to face these kind of things. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, what fear's holding me back? You know, which one is it? It's a good question. Which fear's dictating my behavior? You know, what fear is paralyzing me? You know, if you don't face it, you know, you're never going to go anywhere. Amen. And so we have to learn to face our fears. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, we all have to deal with things, you know, that, you know, different things. You know, there's people who won't fly. Well, it's hard to be a missionary if you won't fly. Right? I mean, you can't go to too many countries without flying. I mean, you can go to Central America if you want to from here. And, you know, if you don't, without flying, but it's going to be a long time getting there. Amen. But, you know, so you have to face some things. You know, I remember the first time I ever did fly on a huge aircraft. I'd flown on smaller aircraft, but never had been on a huge aircraft, you know, a large, like a 747 or something like that. And I didn't know what to expect, Pastor Chuck. I'd never been on one, so I didn't know. You know, I've been on smaller ones. I've been on a 12-seater plane. That was a little bit bigger, but still a different deal, you know. And I remember, you know, sitting back in there and buckling in, and when that pilot, when he put the thrust down on that plane, I thought, you know, I'm kind of like a kid at the fair. You know, stop the ride. Let me out. You know, fear tried to grip my heart, like, man, we're going too fast to mess up here, you know. But you have to, you know, but, you know, I've survived. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, I've overcome that fear. Amen. And you have to deal with fear, amen? Yeah. So I want to talk about that this morning. We're going to go back to Mark. We read this scripture last Sunday morning, but we're going to read it again this morning. And it's an incident in the life of Jesus and his disciples. And Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, "The same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." He'd been in this ship all day, or this boat actually, all day long. He'd been preaching. And he had borrowed the boat, cast out a little bit from the sea, from the land, and began speaking to the people on the land. "And there arose a great storm of wind," or the Greek says a mega storm. So this was a huge storm. "And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder, or the stern of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That's old King James. In other words, don't you care that we're dying here? I mean, obviously, he wasn't too bothered by it because he slept through it. You know, it's just like a friend of mine said. I say this a lot, but I enjoyed it when he said it so much. He said, "If you have to wake a guy up to ask him if he cares, he probably does not care." That's right. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is, I mean, he's cool about this. Yeah. You know, he's in faith about this. "And he arose," notice this, "he arose, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Or this word "great calm" means mega calm. Like there was a mega storm, now there's a mega calm. Yeah. Hallelujah. "And he said unto them," thanks for waking me up, guys. That's not what he said, is it? "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Isn't that interesting? You would think that he would have said, "Thank you for waking me up before we all drowned." But when he took care of the situation and took care of the problem, the thing that he said was, "Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Well, you don't have, why do you have no faith?" Yeah. Interesting. Now, let's just talk about this a little bit, because you know what? I don't think the disciples were exaggerating. I don't think they were exaggerating the problem. You know, sometimes as a people exaggerate the problem a little bit. You know, put a little bit of extra on it, more than what's really the problem. But I don't think they were exaggerating the problem, because Peter and James and John, we know of, were commercial fishermen. They're used to being out on the lake. They've been out on this lake many times. They've been out on this lake more times than Jesus has been out on this lake. This is what they did for a living. They did this every night. They went fishing every night. And so they understand when you're in trouble. They know when you're in trouble. They've been through enough, got enough seasoning. But the thing of it is if Jesus is in your boat, he's bigger than your trouble. Hallelujah. If he's in your boat, your trouble isn't going to sink you. Amen. And so here's an interesting thing. I think the reason he rebukes them is because they didn't get up and do the same thing. Because they didn't face this fear with faith. That's what I think the problem is here. I think that's why he rebuked them, is because he, instead of being afraid, instead of saying, we're going to die, they should have got up and rebuked the storm and said, look, we're not going to wake Jesus up. He said we're going the other side, so you're just going to have to calm down. Yeah. Right. Amen. The Son of the living God said, let us go to the other side. We're going to the other side. Right. And there's no storm going to stop us. Amen. Amen. But yet, they were prepared to sink. And so Jesus rebukes them. Now, here's an interesting thing. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit. Just think about this. He said to them, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So in Jesus' mind, faith would have solved their problem. In his thinking. Now, that tells me something, all right? See, that tells me that Jesus believes that you can use your faith for more than just getting saved.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, obviously, because he felt like this was an area where they should have used their faith. Because he asked him, why don't you have any faith? Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying now? See, I'm making a point here, because sometimes people will attack those that preach faith, you know, and they say, well, you can't have faith for this, you can't have faith for that, you can't have faith for that. You can't, you faith for salvation. Well, obviously Jesus felt like faith was for storms. When you face storms. Because he said, why didn't you use any of it? That's interesting right there. I mean, that'll preach a series right there. Amen. Because, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time now. I've been preaching faith for a long time. And I understand what people say. I know what people say. I mean, I know the attacks. I know this. I know the unbelief, the attacks and all that. But here's the thing. Listen, I didn't write this. No preacher wrote this. When Jesus is the one that said this. Come on, are you with me now? See, people say, well, I just don't believe in that. You can have what you say. Well, all right. But there was a famous preacher that popularized it. His name is Jesus. Now, he didn't say you could just have anything you said. He said you could have what you believe. And he didn't just say you can believe anything you want to believe. He said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the only thing you can really believe is what? What the Word says. So that tells me that if I say what the Word says, I can have what the Word says. Hallelujah. You say, well, I already know that, Pastor. I know, but we have to live this way. We don't just know it. We got to live it. Amen. Amen. I know how to, you know, I know how to go out and start my vehicle. But that knowledge alone is not going to do me any good. I'll still just sit there in the parking lot unless I actually do something with it. I know how it works. I've done it. Amen. And so let's talk about this. Let's just talk about, you know, what you know, facing your fears with faith. Facing your fears with faith. Go to Romans chapter 12. And like I said this morning, I told you I'm going to just talk to you about how to do this. But let's go to Romans 12 first of all. And I have three things I want to share with you this morning about how to face your fears, how to do that. Things that we can do to face them. Because I'll tell you, fear will keep you out of God's best. And when we go, you know, the book of Genesis is called Genesis because Genesis means beginnings. So it means the origins of something, the genesis of it. And so that's why we call it the book of Genesis. It's the origins of the heavens and the earth. It's also the origins of how things work. You find a lot of truth in the book of Genesis that'll help you understand the kingdom of God. One of the things is that we see the first time the word fear or afraid was mentioned was right after Adam sinned, which tells us that that came because of the fall, the curse, the devil. Okay? That force of fear came because of that. Because before that, you know, I'm sure that God did not teach Adam the word afraid. Right? That because what's God going to be afraid of? The Bible says He sits in heavens and laughs. So the word fear didn't come from, you know, it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. There's words we use today that we wouldn't use if man hadn't have fell. Like the word sickness and death. If Adam had never sinned, it wouldn't be a part of our vocabulary. We wouldn't even know what it is. Hallelujah. So the word fear is one of those words that, you know, it came because man sinned and he fell. And so when he did that, then the force that the devil uses, fear, entered into the heart of man. It entered into the earth. Just like the faith is God's, I don't want to say commodity, but it's the way God, it's the way God's kingdom operates. You could say faith is heaven's currency. In other words, you can't purchase anything in the spirit without faith. You can't get saved without faith. Amen. You can't have anything without faith. Amen. So we have to understand that the opposite of that's true. Fear, which is the opposite, is the same way. You can't have anything. The devil can't get anything to you unless you're afraid of it. A lot of people are afraid of certain things. You know, cancer puts fear in people. And if it's not handled rightly, it can kill you. But here's the thing. Cancer is a name. And there's a name above that name. You have to remember that. And you have to remember that the name that we have is higher than that. Amen. You know, I mean, I've seen multitudes of people that got cancer and should be dead that are still alive. Amen. I know a gentleman that he got cancer years ago, and honestly, he should have died naturally. I mean, there was really no hope for him. Absolutely zero hope, really. Zero hope. But he's alive today, and it's been maybe 12, 15 years ago that he had his diagnosis. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I still go to the doctor, and the doctor looks at my body, and it looks like my body's messed up and like I can't do anything. He said, but I do everything. He can do anything he wants to do, pretty much. And the doc, he said, matter of fact, he said, I'll go in there. He said, every so often, you know, they have you come in for a full body scan, you know, where they check you out. I mean, he has no cancer in his body. But yet that cancer that he had till he got rid of it, it kind of wrecked his body a little bit and did some things and ate some holes and stuff like that. And he told me one time, he said, you know what? He said, I'm sitting in there and they're doing this full body scan or whatever it is they do. He said, and the technician sticks his head around the corner. He says, are you in pain? He said, no. Are you sure you're not in pain? Yes. You should be in pain. Well, I don't want no pain. Sorry, I just don't want any pain. Well, that's our God, amen? Are you with me now? You know, Brother Hagin had a guy at camp meeting one time, and the guy, Dr. Proven, he had a hole in his lung the size of a quarter, and his lung's functioning. And the doctor says, your lung can't function with a hole in it the size of a quarter. Well, there it is. You know, he told about Brother Hagin, how a Sunday school superintendent one time that fell and busted his arm, just shattered in like 1,000 pieces. And they said, well, how do you want it? Do you want it down like this or do you want it up like that? Because it's not going to move, you know. And he said, well, wherever we put it, that's the way it's going to stay. So just tell us however you want it, you know. And, you know, he was Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, and they believed God for him. You know what? His arm works perfectly. And it still looks like it's shattered into 1,000 pieces. It's like, well, God can do it any way he wants to do it. He could have healed it, put it back, but, you know, this is kind of more exciting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of cool. So the insurance company, and this doesn't sound like a lot now, but in those days, we're talking about, you know, probably the 40s, the insurance company sent the guy a check for $2,500 for the loss of the use of his arm. So he told him, he said, well, I can use my arm, see? And they said, well, we don't care. We go by what the doctor says. Well, look, it works. Well, we don't care. We go by what the doctor's report says you can't. But look, it works. And so he called Brother Hagin. He said, what am I supposed to do? He says, well, the doctor says it can't work. Then you tried to tell him, just take the money. Hallelujah. You know, some of you, maybe years ago, he was in the 70s. This guy's still alive. He still goes around. His name's Ronnie Cohen. Ronnie Cohen is missing an eye. But through a supernatural intervention, miraculous miracle of God, he can see out of that missing, well, the eye's not there. But he can see out of that eye socket where there's no eye. Now, this isn't just churches saying this. He is a Christian man. He does go to churches. He did, I don't know if he still does or not, but he used to travel churches and give his testimony how he had a continual working of miracle. He has a glass eye. He puts a glass eye in just for aesthetics. And so they had him on. There used to be a show years ago called That's Incredible. Anybody remember that? That dates you. Anyway, he was on that show one night, and they were checking him out. And they had him on there, and they covered up, you know, his good eye, you know, and put a card out there for him to read. And he's just reading off. He's just reading like anybody else could read. And they're on, this is national primetime TV. And, you know, they said, wow, that is amazing. As you can see out of a glass eye. He said, oh, I don't need the glass eye. I popped it out. And then the glass eye, you can put that in my pocket, I can still read. Now they think, you know, of course they think it's some kind of mind thing, some kind of mental thing, but it's just God. I said, it's just God. God can do it any way he wants to do it. You know, we don't tell him how to do it, right? I mean, just think about when the Israelites came to the Red Sea, he could have levitated them, floated them over the sea. But he decided just to part the waters. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I know there's people today, I've heard people say that some real smart people say, well, it was only 6 inches deep there. Well, then why would you even have to part it? And that's pretty amazing. He drowned the whole army of Pharaoh in 6 inches of water. I mean, you might as well just believe it like the Bible said it, because it'll be easier on you. Right? All the explanation, explain it away. You know, how you and I came from out of monkeys and all that, you know. You ever think about that? You know, just think about that, you know. I mean, I've got some relatives I'm kind of suspicious that maybe that's where they came from. But, you know, like a friend of mine said, you know, some of my relatives, they hung by the neck, but not the tail. Think about that. It'd just be easier for me to, when you check out the human body and the miracle of it and how it functions, how it works, and how everything is put together, and just how marvelous it is, you just realize there's just no way that just happened.
Right.
There's just no way. Well, we evolved. We came from, you know, monkeys do look a lot like us. Well, speak for yourself. I realize there could be some similarities, but there's a big difference. You have a living spirit on the inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. And you're created in the image of God, see. Amen. You know, the Big Bang, you know, Big Bang theory. Well, God was the Big Bang. He said, let there be. And there was. It's interesting when you do, you know, I mean, it's like just like if you understand the original languages of the Bible, a lot of things come out to you. I don't understand it real strongly, but I've got enough sense to study and, you know, find some things out. So, you know, and you know how, was it Einstein that came up with the law of relativity, the, you know, you can't separate time and space. Am I right about that? Okay. I got one. Yeah, I'll go with that. Praise God. Did you know that that was in the Bible all the time? When Moses described it, you know, in Hebrews describing it, it uses the word eons, time and space. It didn't separate. The Bible didn't start with. The Bible already knew that before Einstein did it. He just proved what the Bible already said. Amen. Are you with me? God is light. How many know that? That's what the Bible says. You know, well, you know, scientists have proven this, that if you get into if you go past the speed of light, you get into the light realm, you get into a dimension that they didn't even know was even there. This has been proven. They can take any object and speed it up to the speed of light or a little bit past the speed of light, and it disappears. It's still there, but you can't see it, feel it, or your senses lose track of it. It still exists. You slow it down, it's back. But it just disappears. It gets into a different realm. It's in the light realm. Amen. You know, I learned this from, he's in heaven now. Help me, hon, with his name. He used to be over the Four Square Church. Dr. Roy Hicks. And she's like, I don't know who you're talking about. Dr. Roy Hicks. He was over the Four Square Church. He was a great faith teacher. And he was talking about one time, he said, you know, he said, scientists, and I didn't look this up. You can look it up. Google it if you want to, if you believe the internet. Let's just stop there just for a minute. Everybody say Dr. Roy Hicks. Dr. Roy. I'm going to tell you about this story, but let's just stop there just for a minute. Did you know that the internet, the information is put in there by men?
Right.
And did you know just because it's on the internet, that doesn't mean it's true? Right. See, when I was a kid, we didn't have internet. So we would say, well, it was on TV.
Right.
Well, that makes it accurate. Well, it was on TV. I saw it on TV. Oh, yeah, well, all right, we'll sell our soul for that. No. Internet can be wrong. Google can be wrong. Siri can be wrong. Alexis can be cantankerous sometimes. I've asked her before, are you deaf? She said, I'm sorry if I didn't hear you. Her and I have some conversations sometimes. I told her the other day, you're awful dumb. She didn't know what I was asking. I thought, you're dumb. I thought you're supposed to know everything. She only knows what's put in her. How many know that? How many know she's not real? I asked her one time, are you married? She said, I'm perfectly happy being single. All right. Hallelujah. As bossy as you are, you probably better stay that way. Anyway. Dr. Roy Hicks was talking about one time scientists said they've proven that if you put an alarm clock, you know, the wind-up kind, and you put it in, you know, you put it in a spaceship and you send it up at the speed of light, you send it up 12 hours one direction and then turn around being 12 hours back to the Earth at the speed of light, traveling at the speed of light. Scientists say that at the speed of light, even though it's only been 12 hours in that spaceship, it's been 1,000 years on the Earth. I'm just blowing the smoke away, coming away from your head. Yeah, it gets beyond our understanding. And I thought, when he said, I thought, well, that's what the Bible says. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day, because God is light, man. Amen. Did you know there's angels in this room today?
Amen.
You don't see them. How do you know they're here? Well, I have to accept it by faith because I don't see them. But the Bible says they are. Now, why don't we see them? Because they're in a different realm than we're in. We're just stuck down here in this slow realm, this natural realm. Now, there have been people that have seen them. Now, I've had people tell me, and people that I trust, you know, certain people that you know, they're not going to tell you something that's a lie, right? You know, their integrity. And we had a lady in our church one time. They moved off to another state now. But she was our praise and worship leader for a little while. And it's not Michelle. It was Stacy. And when Stacy was with us, she said, after the service one morning, she said, Pastor, I saw an angel with you today. And said he had, like, armor on. And I believed her because she wouldn't say something like that and just make it up. She's not that kind of person. She didn't have charismatic hallucinations. If she said it, it was true. And I told her, and she said, but she said, he had armor on. I said, you know what that means, don't you? She says, what? I said, don't mess with the pastor. Now, he's been there, and he may be here this morning. I don't know. I don't see him. But I do know this, that I don't have to see him. I can just believe what the Word says. See, the Bible says, blessed are those that have believed and haven't seen, right? So we're better off if we just believe and don't see, because, you know, people, I'd like to see Jesus. Well, listen, wouldn't we all? But that doesn't mean that'd make you any more spiritual. It could actually hinder your faith. You might get to where you have to see everything from now on. See, what did Thomas say? I won't believe unless I see him. Right. You guys saw him. I didn't see him. I'm not going to believe unless I see him. Jesus got on to him. He said, blessed is he that hasn't seen and yet believes. Because that's true faith. And if you have true faith, you'll walk in the blessing of God. Yeah. A mother in Israel, she was to me years ago. She's still alive. She's in her 90s. You know, they said she was going to die about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and I told her granddaughter then who came to visit her, I said, I wouldn't count her out yet. She just may live, because they said she had 2 months to live, so her granddaughter lived a different, you know, she lived in another state, and she came to see her, thought she was coming to see grandma for the last time. So, you know, Phyllis and I and her had lunch together, and we talked, and I said, you know, listen, I know your grandmother. I mean, I've known her for years. I wouldn't count her out. And today, here we are about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I can't remember, a year and a half anyway, probably years, you know, she's going to be dead in two months, year and a half, she's still going to church. She's in her 90s. But she told me one time, she said, you know, when I was, I worked at the nursing home, and this is, you know, years ago, she said, I worked at the nursing home, and she said, I was always afraid to go out. You know, I worked second shift, and so my shift would get over, it'd be dark. She said, I was always afraid to go out in the parking lot by myself. And she said, you know, I just had that fear. She said, one night I went out into the parking lot to get in my car. She said, I got in my car, and she said, when I did, the passenger door opened. And she said, in came a man and said he was so big that he had to scrunch down and he had to lean over in the seat, and his head was up by the dash. Now, these are the days when we didn't have little tiny putt-putt cars. This was a Buick Electra. As long as your house. I mean, remember those cars? I mean, you could literally live in them, you know what I'm saying? You could put a living room back there, you know what I'm saying, man? They were huge. And so he got in the car, he sat down, said, then he looked over at me and he smiled. And she said, then he just disappeared. She said, I haven't been afraid to go out there ever since. Now what happened there? What happened there? Well, here's what happened. The Lord either slowed that angel down or sped her eyes up and she saw into the realm. He'd been there all along. And God was just letting her know, he's here with you all the time. You don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Well, I wish God would do that for me. I wish he would me too. But you know what? Listen, we just leave that up to God, right? We don't push for that kind of stuff, or I don't even pray for that kind of stuff. I don't even believe for that kind of stuff. If it's up to God, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. I'm open for it. Hallelujah. I'm open for it. But what are we talking about? Well, see, we have to learn that we got supernatural help down here. Remember then in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, when, you know, Elisha and his servant were in Dothan, not Georgia, Dothan and another over in the Middle East. They were in Dothan, and, you know, the king of Syria sent his army to get Elisha. He had the whole city surrounded, you know. And so his servant goes out and he sees all those armies, and he says to Elisha the prophet, what are we going to do, master? And Elisha says, there's more with us than there are with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. What do you mean open his eyes? Well, he wasn't blind, right? He opened his eyes spiritually so he could see into the spirit realm, and know what's there. Now, I'm convinced Elisha didn't see it. He just believed it. But God opened his servant's eyes, and he saw chariots of fire. He saw 8 horses, like spiritual things. All they're actually angels around them. And praise God, everything came out fine. The enemy army was struck blind, and Elisha went on his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. Amen? Amen. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about this, because I want to close this out this morning. Are you in Romans 12?
Yes.
All right, let's go to verse number 2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." You know, you have to renew your mind not to worry and to have fear. Because, actually, our parents, maybe not all parents, but a lot of parents, they just train their kids to be afraid. And we shouldn't do that. We ought to put faith in them, not fear in them. You know, that's the way our parents, they didn't know any better. Bless their hearts, our grandparents, I mean, from my generation and parents, they didn't know spiritual things. They didn't really know the Word like we've been privileged to learn today. And they didn't know any better, and they just put fear in you. You know, I remember Grandma, she didn't want me going out. You know, I was 4 years old. I remember one of her stories she told me. She said, you know, because she didn't want me going outside for whatever reason, you know. Generally, they wanted you outside. But if for whatever reason they didn't want you outside, she told me about eagles, that there were eagles out there. And eagles were so powerful that they could carry that house off. I thought, well, if they can carry a house off, they can carry a 4-year-old with cowboy boots and shorts on off. Oh, I wouldn't go out there. And she put the fear of God in you. I remember she thought she was lying. She had a picture of Jesus in the living room. She'd go make you stand there with that picture. Now tell me what happened. Oh, Jesus. He liable to come out of that picture and kill me. I lie. I did it, Grandma. I did it. She could always get the truth out of you with that picture of Jesus, man. You wouldn't dare lie. You know, and just put fear in you, you know, things like that. And that's not good. So we're trained that way. But we have to train ourselves that in the kingdom of God, we're faith people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. We no longer operate by fear. And we don't have to fear anything. Amen. That's the Bible. That's not me saying that. The Bible said, "The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear?" Now notice what he said. He said, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you," that's talking about among the church at Rome, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man," talking about those among the church, "the measure of faith." So God's given us faith, folks. Amen. We need to learn to use the faith God's given us in this life. Amen? In other words, look, what could you do if you didn't have any fear? You could do what God called you to do. Amen? Well, I'm just afraid. Well, see, that right there is an open door for the devil to have his way in your life. See, you just don't, you can't yield to that and not steal, kill, and destroy you. People are afraid. You know, I'm afraid that this disease is going to come upon me. You know, it's been in my family. Well, look, you got saved, didn't you? I said, well, all right. We'll have an altar call. We'll take care of that this morning. You got saved, right?
Right. Yes.
All right. Did, when you got saved, did you get redeemed?
Yes.
Did you get redeemed from the curse?
Yes.
Well, then it no longer applies to you.
Right.
Now, it'll still come on you if you're afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, they say, like, when you run into wild animals, you don't want to show fear. I was reading this thing about, you know, if you're out in the woods and you run into a bear. Now, I've never had that to happen. I don't know why I needed to know it, but I thought I'd read it anyway. And the guy said, the thing to do is to stand up and face it. Face it. Make yourself as big as possible. Don't turn and run. Just face the thing. No fear. I thought, well, y'all try that and let me know if it works. And I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm climbing a tree. You know, and they say that's true. They say, like, you know, dogs can tell if you're afraid of them and stuff like that. They can sense fear. Why? Well, they're more in tune a lot of times than we are because we're so caught up in the natural. But they're in tune with it, you know, and tell if you're afraid. Amen. And so a lot of people are like, well, you know, I'm afraid this disease is going to come on me. Well, what did Job say? He said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. I feared a fear and it happened to me is what the cross-reference says. I feared a fear and it came on me. Well, what happened? Well, you opened the door. You know, faith, the Bible says, quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, the opposite of that would be it lets them all in. Fear would let them all in. See, it'd just be opposite. Faith quenches, fear lets it in. Did you know? Now, listen now. Did you know there are millions of people in our country today that believe we're destroying the planet and it's not going to be here in 12 years? Did you know that's not true? See, let's close this out, but how do we face fear? Well, how many know the Bible says faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So we face fear, number one, by immersing ourselves in God's Word. What He has to say will drive fear out the door. Now, the reason I know our planet's not going to burn up. See, first of all, if I didn't even know the Bible, I lived through the 70s. Are you with me now? I was in the 60s. Someone said one time, if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. You have to kind of be from that generation to know what that statement means. But the 70s was the same way. The 60s and the 70s kind of flowed together, you know. The Vietnam War, Watergate, the whole deal, all that. I lived through all that. But one of the things that we heard in the 70s, especially the early 70s, was scientists, everybody say scientists. The people who know more than God. Wrong. We're saying in the 1970s that there was an ice age coming. Yeah, and they made a movie out of it, right? There was an ice age coming. Guess what? It didn't come. They were wrong. So then it changed to, okay, we're not going to freeze. We're going to burn up. Not going to be long till Miami's going to be in the ocean. Did you know in the 70s and all, we heard that California was going to be in the ocean. They said, buy property front in Arizona because that's where the beach is going to be. California's still there. Not totally, but it's still there. What happened? They were wrong. And have you ever noticed now they don't call it global warming? They call it climate change. That way, if it's hot, it's climate change. If it snows, it's climate change. If it doesn't do anything, it's climate change. Now, how do I know? Why am I not afraid? Because, listen, I'm not just making fun. Just understand. There are truly millions of people in America that are fearful. They really believe we're not going to be here. One of our politicians said, there's no use of having kids because, you know, they're just going to get destroyed in this. So don't even have kids any longer. Does that sound like fear to you? Does it sound like any faith in that at all? Here's the reason I know. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I've already read in the Word of God how this thing's going to end. Jesus is coming back. And guess what? The earth's going to be here. All the nations are still going to be here. all people are going to still be here. Now, there's another thing that's been pushed around, even by Christians. There's a coming economic collapse, that the whole world's going broke. Can I tell you again? That's false. How do you know? Because you go to the book of Revelation, in the last days, there's still going to be prosperity flowing.
Amen.
It's still going to be here.
Amen.
I got quiet on that one because one of your favorite Christian authors wrote a book about the coming of financial apocalypse. He's wrong. It's not in the Bible. I'll stick with the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be some hard times for some countries. I'm not saying any of that, but it's not all going to collapse. Amen.
Amen.
Besides that, who are you? You're a born again, child of the living God, redeemed, who he said, take no thought.
That's right. Amen.
Don't worry about it. I got you covered.
Amen.
That means if it all goes under, I'm still good.
That's right.
Why? Because God said in his own word, if you don't provide for your own family, you're worse than an infidel. I don't think we're ever going to be able to accuse God of being an infidel. What's an infidel? Fidel Castro? Is that what you're talking about? An infidel means an unbeliever. I don't think we're ever going to accuse God of being an unbeliever. And we are his children. And he has promised to supply all of our need. So I'm not worried about it. I remember the Y2K thing. How many remember that? Oh, man, it was all going to stop. All the computers were going down. The stoplights were going to quit working and everything, I mean, we're going to lose all of our heat and everything. Everything was going, the end of the world was coming, Y2K. I remember that. I remember that. I was in a meeting, and, I didn't know. I just felt like that's not right. I mean, the Lord would tell us. He hadn't said anything about this. But, I remember I was in a meeting in another city about a little less than 2 hours away. And the meeting closed that night. I think it might have been a Friday night that Y2K was supposed to come, like the changeover. So I thought, well, you know what, let's at least go home in case the power does go out. I don't know why I want to be home if the power goes out, but let's at least go home. And so we went home. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. The only thing that happened was Phyllis or mine, I can't remember whose computer was, IBM computer that came over on the Mayflower couldn't keep dates any longer. I mean, it was a PS1. You know what I'm talking about? It was the first IBM personal computer made. It was number one. I mean, not the very first one, but the first edition. It came over on the Mayflower. It no longer could have the right date. I think the reason it lost date because it wasn't even programmed to go to the year 2000. Nobody expected you to keep it that long. But we keep our computers for a long time. I mean, as long as they do what we need them to do, we keep them, Well, I'm just saying to you, if you feed on the Word of God, the Word puts faith in you, not fear in you. Now, number two, the second thing that keeps us, free from fear is faith in the love of God.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. What does that mean? When our love is perfected, when our love is mature in God's love for us, we realize he's got us covered. He's not going to let things happen to us.
Right.
If we're in faith about it, then you have to be in faith about it, but he's got us covered.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not, I'm secure in his love. Remember what the psalmist said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How much evil? None of it. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, what would be his rod and staff? Well, we could say his word comforts us. I'm comforted by his word. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. You don't have to be afraid in the middle of anything. God's got you covered. I remember one preacher one time, he said, we were flying along. He was on a commercial plane. And, this doesn't happen often on commercial. Now, you fly smaller ones, you'll just feel them drop just like they're falling out of the sky sometimes. It doesn't happen that often with them either. But occasionally, you hit the right air pocket and it's just like your plane will just fall just several feet. And I mean, if you're not used to that, it can put some fear in you. It'll make you pucker, believe me, you know. And it'll just, phew, just drop, and it just, you know. But, you know, if you're seasoned, you know, well, you know, we're all right here. We're just going through a little turbulence. But occasionally, even a commercial plane will do that. Now, not very often, but we had one, I don't know, it was this year. It fell, and people got hurt. You know, it fell, I don't know, several thousand feet, just went, phew, you know. And people, you know, stuff was slung all over the plane, you know, some people got a little minor injuries, you know. But he was on the plane, and that thing just started falling, you know, like it's falling out of the sky. And he said, I stood up and said, thank God we're all going to heaven. He said, somebody said, don't say that. Well, see, what was his deal? His deal was, no matter what happens, God's got me, I'm covered. I'm all right. Hallelujah. Amen. So number one, immersing yourself in the Word keeps fear off of you. Two, faith in the love of God. Number three, we've got to learn fear is the Spirit. And God's, 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us the spirit of fear. Has He? What did He give us? We just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, He's given to every man among us, the church, the measure of faith. We're to operate out of the spirit of faith, remember? We having the same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We're to operate by the spirit of faith, not the spirit of fear. See, let's just apply this to everyday life. Just say you get laid off of your job. You know, you know what's going to happen when you get... What's the first thing that happens if a person loses their job? The first thing that tries to come to them is fear. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the car. We're going to have to sell the kids. Well, that might not be too bad. Amen. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Now, is that what God wants you thinking?
No.
What does He want you to think? As soon as you lose your job, God's got something better for me. My God meets all my needs. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Do you understand how you have to renew your mind to think that way? Because automatically it'll go to fear, like, what's going to happen? Right? I'm going to lose everything. Come on. Or you get a bad report from the doctor. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Well, we're all going to die. Lord tarries. But you don't have to go till it's your time. And you don't have to go with a disease.
That's right.
So what's your thought? See, the first thing tries to hit you is fear. You ever had something go wrong with your body? See, the devil's a lousy doctor, but he'll try to diagnose things for you. You ever have a pain in your body? He'll go, heart attack. You got heart problems. Yep. That pain over there? Yeah. That pain? That's a heart. You mean this one over here? Oh, no, that one over there. Heart's over here. Or you feel, cancer. Guess what? He's a liar. Are you with me? You know what it is? It's gas. You ate too much stinking pizza. You're not dying. Are you with me now? See, you don't allow that to, those things come at all of us, but don't allow those things to be predominant in your mind. Amen? You got to realize that's a spirit trying to attack me. Rebuke that. I rebuke that spirit of fear. God didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I have all those thoughts coming. Well, learn to stand against them. Just learn to stand against them and say, no, I'm not thinking you. God gave me faith. There's a well of faith inside of you. God put it in there. Begin to draw from it. Amen. Don't just allow those thoughts to run crazy. Paul told us not to. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.